We do want to welcome each one to Calvary Free Presbyterian Church for the service of thanksgiving for the life of our brother, Mr. Gary Harkness. We thank you for joining with us, and we thank those who are joining online. We realise that there would be a big number gathered here today in normal circumstances, but because of the restrictions, we do have to abide by the laws at present. Just a few things to request of you because of the circumstances at this moment. We would ask that you wear your face mask during the service. At the end of the service, those who are carrying the coffin out will exit through the back doors as they come in. But the rest we would ask to exit through this door and out around the side of the church, and that keeps us right. We do want to worship the Lord as we gather together today, and therefore we turn to our opening hymn on our order of service, Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It, Redeemed by the Blood of the Lamb. We'll remain seated as we sing this wonderful hymn of testimony about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are glad this afternoon to have a number of ministers in taking part in this service, all friends of our brother Gary. We certainly do welcome each one in the Saviour's name. We do want to ask our brother, Pastor Ian Loughran, to come and pray immediately after that. Reverend Stephen McRae is coming to read God's Word. And after the reading of God's Word, Reverend William McRae will bring a message in song.
Let us bow our heads and our hearts before the Lord and ask for his help and blessing on this service. So let's come before him now in prayer. Our gracious and our most loving Heavenly Father, we come to thee in the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Redeemer of his people. We thank thee that the blood of Jesus Christ is able to redeem us and to make us acceptable in thy sight. For his blood is able to cleanse all our sin. Lord God, we thank thee that there was a fountain opened in the house of David for sin and uncleanness, that there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. We thank thee that as we sorrow today, that we do so with hope, the hope of the gospel, with a sure and certain hope, knowing that our departed brother was redeemed, knowing that he was in Christ, knowing that if any man be in Christ, there is no condemnation, knowing that he was a new creature in Christ Jesus, the old things passed away and all things became new, knowing how much Jesus Christ meant to him, knowing that there was once a time in his life where he saw no beauty in the Savior that he should desire him. But there came a time in his life when he was able to say from that personal experience of thy saving grace, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved and this is my friend. Lord God, we bless thy name for saving Gary Harkness, for making him a child of God, for making him a soldier of the cross and a follower of the Lamb. And Father, we thank thee for the testimony that he left behind, a man who was saved by grace and changed by the awesome and transforming power that is manifest in the gospel by the transformation that takes place in the lives of those who give their lives to thy Son. Father, we do pray for a deep sense of thy presence at this funeral service. We pray that thou wilt minister to us. We pray that thou wilt meet with us at the point of our need. Lord, we know that our hearts are heavy, but we think of the invitation of the Savior. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And we thank thee that there's rest for the weary in Jesus Christ, that we can bring our burdens to him, and he will sustain us. And we thank thee that there's rest for the guilty sinner, that we can bring our sin to him, for he has taken our sin to the cross, for he is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Father, we do pray that thou wilt bless each one that takes part, and we think especially today of those who were near and dear to Gary, and we think of his sister Iona, we think of his brothers Brian, Alistair, and Dennis, and we pray that thou wilt draw alongside them. And we pray that thou wilt speak to their hearts. And we pray that thou wilt comfort them. And we pray that the comfort and the consolation of the Scripture will come with power to their souls. Father, we do pray for the wider family circle. We pray that they too will be ministered by thee. We pray that the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation to all that believe, to everyone that believeth, will be something that will give them hope and enable them to see in Christ what Gary saw in him. Lord, we rejoice that he has that moment of passing from this life into the next, that he's had an experience that no Christian on this earth has had. He has seen the King in all his beauty, face to face with Christ my Savior, face to face, what will it be when with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. Face to face with him who loved Gary and gave himself for him. And Father, we thank thee that he is in the company of a great number of men and women who have experienced what he experienced. the saving grace of God bringing him to a place of repentance toward God and faith toward Christ. He's in heaven today. And Lord God, we look forward to that time when we shall join him and see the King in whose beauty Gary delighted. So bless us and be with us, and grant, Lord, that as we listen to thy word, that we will listen with the hearing of faith. For we ask all of these things in Christ's name and for his sake and glory. Amen.
We're going to read from two portions of Scripture today. The first is taken from the book of Psalm, Psalmist 23. We're going to read then also over in the New Testament. Psalm 23, and let's read God's precious word. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Then we're going to read from the book of John, chapter number 14, those first six verses. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen.
Sin will come to the end of life's journey. Far away on that beautiful shore, if we never meet again this side of heaven, as we struggle through this world and its strife, there's another meeting place up there in heaven, by the side of the river of life, where the charming roses bloom forever, and where separation comes no more. If we never meet again this side of heaven, will I meet you on that beautiful shore? Or they say we shall meet by the river, where no storm clouds ever darken the sky. And I know we'll be happy in heaven when we meet in that sweet by and by. If we never meet again the side of heaven, as we struggle through this world and its strife, there's another meeting place up there in heaven, by the side of the river of life, where the charming roses bloom forever, and where separation comes no more. If we never meet again the side of heaven, will I meet you on that beautiful shore? If we never meet again this side of heaven, will I meet you on that beautiful shore? Amen.
On behalf of our congregation here in Mockerfeld, we do want to express our sympathy and our love and our prayers to the family circle and to the friends of our brother Gary. Our brother was predeceased by his parents, Sam and Dorothy, and his sister Dawn just over a year ago. And therefore, we do hold up before the Lord Iona, Brian, Alistair, and Dennis, and the wider family circle and friends, both here in the church and watching online today. Our brother Gary was called home to be with the Lord on Monday morning. And it was a shock to us all, even though we knew he was seriously ill. It came rather unexpectedly. I remember ringing him after he got his diagnosis. And on that phone call, he wasn't panicked. He wasn't angry. And he wasn't even in despair. He was simply trusting. And that's what he said, "I'm trusting the Lord." And that showed to me the special grace that the Lord gave him. And the Lord does give special grace to his children when they face very difficult and dark days. This was not an easy road he's travelled this last number of months, but the Lord was with him, especially in those times whenever he was in hospital himself and visitation wasn't permitted. The Lord was there with him, and he testified to that, and how wonderful it was to hear of him say that. The first thing he said to the doctor, he told me, after he was admitted to hospital for those tests was, "Either way, I'm going home. I'm either going home to Coke or I'm going to heaven, but I'm going home." And the reason he was able to say that with great confidence was because of the event that had taken place in his life a number of years ago, when he confessed his need as a sinner before the Lord and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into his heart and to save him and to wash him in the precious blood that we sang about just a few moments ago, the blood of Christ shed on the cross of Calvary. And I know every single person here will have their own memories of Gary and things that they'll smile about and remember, those precious memories, and that's a wonderful gift from the Lord. But just for a few moments, I want to speak about his faith, and certainly, especially through these last number of months, but looking back over these last number of years, we've seen his faith. He was not ashamed to call himself a Christian, and he was not ashamed to tell others about the Lord, and that's a wonderful evidence of God's salvation. And he was not ashamed to tell others that they needed to be saved. He actually made it a very practical way by taking gospel DVDs and CDs to people in the community who were not able to get out to church. And he visited them on a weekly basis, taking the gospel and talking to them about the Lord. There was a personal witness and testimony to those whom he knew needed to be saved. He was a member of this congregation for many years and participated in various aspects, certainly in the bus ministry. He was always available and willing to work there. He sang in the men's choir for many years and travelled with us as we sang in various places. And those, of course, are precious memories. And one thing that's notable about him is this: he prayed. And in public prayer meetings, he prayed. And in those prayer meetings, he not only prayed for the church and for different aspects of the Lord's work around the world, but he also prayed for his family and he prayed for his friends. And the prayer was always the same, that the Lord would save each one and unite the family circle in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have been ringing Gary over the last number of weeks and days, and I've been able to read a few verses with him and to pray with him on the phone. And just over 2 weeks ago, I had just said amen after I prayed, and our brother prayed after me. And it was lovely just listening. It wasn't long, but he simply prayed and asked the Lord to bless him and give him help at this time. Over the past 2 days, several people have come to me and told me about things that Gary has done for them, things that the world doesn't know anything about, things that many others don't know about. But just quietly, in his own way, he did those things. I certainly can testify. When I was in college as a student, I know that he supported me financially, and I know for the other students of our congregation, he did that. There was no fanfare about it. It wasn't done in a public way. It was done very privately. But we know he's gone to his eternal reward, and those things done in secret will be rewarded in the open by our Lord. And therefore, as I look at his faith, I am so glad that as we come to this meeting, this is not goodbye. For those of us who are saved, it's farewell, because we will meet again, as our brother sang just a few moments ago. There's another meeting place up there in heaven. How can I say with confidence that someone is in heaven? Because they're trusting alone on the finished work of Christ. He's not in heaven because of this church or because of a life that he lived, but because as a sinner he trusted in the finished work of the Savior. And I know it's his prayer. I know it's our prayer today, those ministerial colleagues here today, that all will be ready for the day Jesus comes or calls. That not one will be missing in heaven whenever the roll is called up yonder. And therefore I trust and pray that as your brother now comes to bring the word of God, that you'll listen. And you'll hear a Savior presented who saved our brother, whom he has now met. And praise God, he can save you as well. And we do now welcome Reverend McRae to come and bring God's precious word.
Just let's have a wee word of prayer. Eternal God and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee today that we can come to Thee in the precious name of Jesus. That name which is above every other name. We thank Thee that we can plead the power and the victory of the blood of Christ, that blood that Jesus shed for the remission of our sin. And Lord, today we pray that we might exalt the Savior today and lift the Savior high, that others might come to know the Savior too. Bless me as I preach Thy word, and cover me in the blood and fill me with Thy Holy Spirit. For I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I know this is not an easy day for the family circle, and I want to pay tribute to the care and the love that was shown, especially over these months that Gary has been ill. That affection and that care from his family has been moving, touching, and I know was deeply appreciated. Gary wasn't always a person that expressed words of appreciation, but I can assure you he really felt it in his heart. And I don't want today to say much about Gary. I certainly have years of memory in our home and in the car driving around the country, tens, maybe hundreds of thousands of miles together. But I received many texts, and I did receive one that I think just sums up. There were two men working on the road one day, and as they were working on the road, Gary knew them, and as he passed, he just waved, went on. It was a scorching summer's day. And in a very few minutes, Gary came back again with two cones of ice cream. One for the person he knew, the other person was just the worker. And Rose said, but he gave it to both of them. Another day he was going down the road and he saw them again. But it was a cold day. The next thing, Gary was back with two cups of tea just to warm them up. Nobody knew about those things, but he just did them quietly. One of those men, his wife was taken tragically in a car accident. He himself was taken to hospital because he had chest pains. And the next thing, in that evening, the door opened of the ward. Gary walked in to let him know he was thinking of him. And that was the day he left his father's graveside. And after burying his dad, he went to the hospital ward just to let a friend know his sympathy and his care. Somebody said to me, he was a rough diamond, but Gary was a diamond. And I can assure you, I deeply appreciate all that he did for me over the years. But I'm not here to talk about Gary, because Gary was very clear what he wanted me to talk about. He wanted me to talk about his Savior, the one who changed his life, the one who saved his precious, never-dying soul. And I want us to think just, let me quote the verse that was very dear to him, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, that's in Christ, should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, each and every one of us have a great problem. The Bible tells us there is no difference. I know a lot of people look at humanity and they divide them up in different categories. But God says there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's where every one of us started, just like Gary Harkness. He was a sinner. Isaiah the prophet said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The word of God also says, there is no man that sinneth not. Now I know that the Bible says, fools make a mock at sin. They think that their sinning is something that is so joyful they can laugh at it. But the Bible says the wages of sin is death. In other words, our sin that man loves, and we all did, that sin separates between us and God. That sin brings us under the condemnation of God. The wages of sin, the payment for sin, is death. Separation eternally from God. And each and every one of us, in our sin, were under the condemnation of God. And we needed to be reconciled to God. We needed to be brought into a loving relationship with God. You say, well, how can that happen? How can sinful man ever be brought into a loving relationship with God? How could Gary Harkness, who from his own lips would tell you how that he lived for sin and in sin, for so many years, how could he be reconciled to God? Well, thank God the answer is in God's gracious provision. And John 3:16 says, "For God so loved Gary, you and me, that God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Word of God's very clear. "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." He didn't die for the lovely, because he said there were no unlovely. For the word of God says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Romans chapter 3, read it for yourself. It's in the book. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." But God provided for sinners a great salvation. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God commendeth his love towards us. And friend, today he commends his love to each and every one that's not only in this service, but those who are listening into this service today. I want to tell you that the God that Gary Harkness trusted and come to know and love as a Savior, he commends his love toward you. Even though you are still in your sin, he commends his love, because God so loved the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. Salvation full at highest cost, he offers free to all. Oh, 'twas love, 'twas wondrous love, the love of God to me that brought my Savior from above to die on Calvary. He was wounded for our transgressions. Yes, I can say it. Yes, Lord Jesus, you were wounded for mine. You took my place on Calvary's cross. You died in my place, the sinner's place. And you stood in my guilty room instead, and all the punishment of hell for me that was due for my sin, you suffered for me, that I might know and have eternal life, that I might never perish, but have everlasting life. And that's why that Gary's Harkness was changed. That's why this day is different. Because in the midst of our sorrow, and my heart is heavy with sorrow, but I'm so glad. And I don't sorrow as those are without hope. But I know that our brother is with Christ right now, enjoying the presence of the Savior he trusted and loved. And then the Lord called him home. As Brother McKee rightly said when he heard the news, he didn't argue with God. He didn't accuse God of saying, "God, I'm only 51 years of age. Why do I have to go?" No, he bowed in submission to God's will. And he said to me, "Brother, if it's the Lord's will to take me, then if it is the means of bringing my loved ones and my friends across this country to know about my Savior, then I'd gladly go." What can make a man, tough lad like Gary Harkness, say the likes of that? Only one thing, friend. It's because of God's wonderful salvation. Because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You see, there's no salvation in any other. And I want to make it clear today that Gary Harkness is not in heaven because of some good work that he did, going around delivering those packages, whether it be the gospel tracts or gospel tapes or other little gifts that he gave to people that nobody else was told about. But I witnessed and I saw. Big lad, but big heart. But he's not in heaven because of that. He's not in heaven because of his friendships with a preacher and going to the meetings and taking me around those hundreds of thousands of miles here, there, and yonder at every speed. He's not in heaven because he was connected with his church. He's in heaven because of one thing. Because of Jesus. The Lord Jesus, in whom he trusted. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And one night, Gary Harkness took his place as a guilty, hell-deserving sinner. He realized that Jesus died in his place and in his stead. And he humbled himself. And he bowed his heart before God and he called on God, save me. Lord Jesus, save me. And he did. And that's why he's in heaven today. For Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, don't matter who you are, rich or poor, ignorant or educated, no man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus. A gracious provision, but very quickly a glorious power. Because you see, the Bible says, wherefore he is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. Remember a man saying to me, but preacher, if you only knew my past, God couldn't love the likes of me. Let me say, every one of us have a past. And it's not glorious. But I want to tell you, there's not one too far gone. There's not one too low. There's not one too far down in sin. But praise God, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin, no matter what it is. There's power in the blood, and that's why we sang the hymn today. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That's the heart of the gospel, friend. And if a preacher doesn't get to the blood, he doesn't get to the gospel. For I'll tell you, there's no cleansing from sin outside of the precious atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look unto me. And be ye saved, all the end of the earth, for I am God, and beside me there is none else. And Gary, as a sinner, looked away to Jesus. And the Lord saved him. My friend, what a glorious power. Hymn writer said he can break every fetter. He can break every fetter. He can break every fetter. He can set you free. Listening to me today, I don't need to know what you have done. God already does. But God commends his love towards you in that while you were yet a sinner, God's lovely Son died in your guilty room and stead upon the cross of Calvary. The gift of God. Notice that verse, the wages of sin, that's something you work for. The wages of sin. And after all a man's sinning, the wages of his sin, the payout for it, is death, eternal separation from God. But the gift of God, you don't work for it, it's a gift. What do you do to get a gift? You reach out the hand, believing it is given to you. You reach out the hand and you simply take it. And God offers the gift of eternal life. And thank God, by faith, we take him at his word. And he gives us eternal life. as I close. But friend, there's a grievous peril. Notice in that verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Isn't that lovely? That he gave his only begotten Son. Isn't that precious? That whosoever believeth in him. Isn't that mighty? Should not perish, but have everlasting life. But think of that verse carefully, friend. Because whosoever believeth not in him shall perish. I was Gary's friend. He was mine. We talked very bluntly to each other many times. And certainly he did to me. But he was a true friend. But friend, let me say this to you lovingly. See, that book I hold in my hand, Gary loved it. It's the Bible. And that Bible tells me, assures there's a heaven for the saved. There's a hell for the lost. And we're all on a journey. Gary has arrived at the end of his journey. Home safe. Hallelujah. Forever with the Lord. But I ask the question to everyone that listens to me now. Where will you be in eternity? You know, I was driving down Coke Street today, and I thought this to myself. You know, the normal things, he should be driving after me, not me after him. But God's plan was different. But thank God we're going to the same place. And soon, we'll meet again. Not this side of heaven. I looked on his face this morning for the last time. But thank God, we'll meet in glory. And he had one desire for the family, and he loved you. He may not have found it easy to say that, but he did. And he prayed for you. And he had one desire, that you'll all meet him in heaven. And that's my prayer too. May God bless his word to your heart. Amen.
We do thank our brother for bringing that word to our hearts, and we pray the Lord will speak on even as we sing our final hymn as we leave the building. And that hymn is a hymn of wonderful confidence and testimony for the Christian. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye, all is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. It is a wonderful thing for a Christian to be promoted to glory. They leave all the cares of life behind, all the sin and the sorrow, and they see the face of Jesus. I trust that's your testimony today, that you're looking forward to that day because you're saved by grace. We'll remain seated as we sing this hymn together. In a few moments' time, just after we pray, the coffin's going to be taken from the building. And once again, those who are doing that, if you exit through the back door, and then the rest, if you come through this front door, and certainly we'll meet around the front to go to the committal in the church graveyard. But we are going to unite our hearts in prayer, and let's ask for the Lord's continued blessing today. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious and Thy holy word. We thank Thee, Lord, in the midst of the darkness of this world, there is a light that shines, the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, Lord, in the midst of the sin and iniquity that abounds, there's cleansing. There's healing for all who will wash. In the life-giving flood, there's perfect deliverance and joy to be had even now in this world through the blood. And we rejoice that the blood was shed on the cross of Calvary, flowing from our Savior's hands, His head and His side. We thank Thee, Lord, that He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven saved through His precious blood. And that's the only way we'll get to heaven, is by salvation. And therefore I pray, Lord, if there's one today listening to my voice, maybe even watching online, and they're not ready, they're not saved, we pray that this will be the day of their salvation. Give grace to call today. Oh Lord, give grace that the sinner will close in with Christ. And even as we go to the burial ground in a few moments, we do pray, O Heavenly Father, that, Lord, You'll continue to speak to hearts. And, Lord, give comfort to the family circle and be glorified in all that's said and done. For we ask these things in Jesus' name, for His eternal glory. Amen and amen. We ask the congregation to stand, please.